Oh no, oh my god, is the tree okay?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Thunderbolts, asterisk, the latest entry in the MCU. It's a fun movie, and we're gonna spoil the shit out of it, so beware.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Asterix.
And with us once again this week, funny enough, is our good friend and returning guest, Doc Washington.
Excelsior.
Yeah. So we decided to have Doc again because we were talking about another movie that we all really liked and talked about. So we figured it would be good to have him on. So thanks for coming back.
Absolutely.
And we're here to talk about Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts, asterisk, baby.
The latest Marvel movie for the MCU. And honestly, I'm just going to jump right out of the gate and say, I think one of the best ones in the last 5 years.
MCU is back, baby.
It's back. All right. So if you haven't seen this movie and it somehow hasn't been spoiled for you already and you don't want it to be spoiled, don't listen to this episode. Come back in a little while. It will still be here. So turn it off. Okay. For those of you who stayed, this movie, I think, fucking slapped.
And by this movie, you mean New Avengers.
New Avengers with a Z. Which I just sidebar. So there's this thing in town called Comedy Sports. And when they had a split back in the late 90s, there was like their owner was terrible and they split off and the Comedy Sports people took their group somewhere and the guy didn't have the name. So he made a new group called Comedy Olympics with an X. And that's the group I joined. So I feel for the New Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, this movie has Sebastian Stan, it has Florence Pugh, it has David Harbour,
Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
Wyatt Russell.
Is that Wyatt Russell? Who's Wyatt? Yeah, Bob.
That's U.S. Agent.
U.S. Agent.
That is Kurt Russell's son.
Yeah. Oh,
Wyatt Russell.
That makes a lot more sense.
And Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. Yeah.
I was like, that guy looks like Kurt Russell, but you know, sometimes blonde guys just do. So, yeah. We don't need to like walk you through the plot, but basically, it is. You've got Black Widow, Red Guardian,
Ghost.
I can think of names, Ghost, and U.S. Agent, and
Winter Soldier,
Senator Bucky Barnes,
Taskmaster,
and Taskmaster. Nick?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about Taskmaster.
That's all right.
He was really excited she was in the movie when we knew.
She was in the movie for like a hot minute.
She made her first appearance in the Black Widow movie, and huge departure from Taskmaster in the comics. Taskmaster in the comics is a chatty guy with his mimetic powers who can memorize people's moves and mimic them back. And he's a bit of a mouth. Like he's kind of a connected to Deadpool in a lot of ways. He's commonly found in Marvel Comics training goons.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the guy you bring in to train your henchmen so that they survive when Captain America shows up.
Because he has that mimicry power.
Right, yeah. So he knows how they all do their thing.
And he can show you how Captain America fights.
When she came out in that mask and she's got the Taskmaster shield with the like the three-way letter T, and she had a bow and she had a sword. She had the whole fucking kit. And she looked so great, and they killed her right away.
Ghost shot her in the head.
What a waste.
Well, and apparently that wasn't the original plan.
Oh.
Like apparently, like there was like a whole sequence where she was like going to continue to forget that they were on the same side and like continue to attack
teammates. Yeah, that would have been. I would have loved to see that. I feel like they put so much into a redesign to align her with something more comic booky. That it felt like a little bit of a waste to me. And it also kind of felt like they were doing a Suicide Squad where it was like, we got this squad of outcasts and rebels and anyone could die. Everyone's possibly expendable. And they had to kill one off mm-hmm. right away, just like in the Suicide mm-hmm. Squad. And I won't say it was like a copying thing or anything like that, but I just...
It felt similar to you.
It was a little bit of a downer in a very good movie that I really enjoyed.
One thing from the beginning that I really did like a lot was Yelena being bored with being a perfectly skilled assassin because she's so good that it's like not even a challenge anymore. And they show her killing like the 10 dudes at once. Like it's nothing. Like, and she's the whole time she's like, oh, I'm just so unfulfilled. And like it's, which I really love because it's like, I think it's so easy. One of the things I've always liked more about Marvel than DC is that Marvel tends a tendency to humanize their superheroes and make them have more gray area. And they tend to, you know, have, you know, more complex personal issues. And I thought that that was just such a great thing that like, she's, you know, she's beautiful and talented and extremely obvious. We are assuming wealthy because, you know, she gets paid by the government to do all this stuff. And then, but she's just, but you know, she's just, she doesn't really, she's not feeling it. Like her sister died and she's just, you know, what is it even all for? It's just good.
I feel like it's a relatable thing, right? We've all had, well, I don't know if we've all had, but many of us have had jobs that we're good at.
Oh, yeah.
But still don't enjoy. And you go there and you're like, well, I'm good at this. I can do this. I can do it well. But, eh.
Yeah,
totally. And it's just she happens to be a trained assassin, but she's the same way, right?
It was very relatable.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that is just that Florence Pugh's performance and just her charisma and just her likability is just so far beyond.
I can't take my eyes off her.
She's got skills. That is an actress with some skills. I said like when I first saw the movie, I was like, I think that's probably the best performance in the MCU.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I think that she is so subtle and she does such good facial expressions and she's always, you know, even like I've honestly been in love with her since the Hawkeye show. That's when I really was like, she's just so good. Like just everything is, she's so great. But like, also, it's really refreshing to see somebody in a ongoing MCU role who doesn't just turn themselves into a stick. Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't, she's not crazy skinny. She is she's the same body she's had since she started in Hollywood, which is very rare for a woman to not get famous and suddenly lose 50 pounds or whatever. Like it's great. And so all of that, I think, just really lends to her likability and her relatability. And just I hope that she just goes on to do more and more things. I fucking love her.
She did that stunt in the beginning with the jump off the building.
Yeah.
That was her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the second tallest building in like the world, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
Astonishing.
It's not the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, that'd be the tallest building in the world. Then she'd have to be. She'd have to be Tom Cruise to do that. I think, in
like a promo video or something, they were saying that it had to be that building for insurance reasons, and I don't know if that was because insurance wouldn't cover the tallest building or what the deal was, but like. It was a big, I mean, obviously, it was a big to-do to be able to get her to do the stunt because it's such a liability and it would fuck up the movie so bad if she got hurt.
Yeah.
Only money reasons, not human reasons.
Yeah. I mean, if she gets hurt, bummer.
I think, I also, as always, I mean, it's every time on screen, they have delightful chemistry, David Harbour and Florence Pugh playing father and daughter, you know, on again, off again, estrangement, you know, kind of a thing. And like, I think they, again, this was such a good movie that, you know, actually just sort of was a movie instead of telling me what's happening film. But when she's like, you haven't even reached out to me. Like you haven't even talked to me since she died. You've been nowhere. And it's like, well, I didn't think you wanted me to, you know, do. And it's like such a human moment to have two people who were both grieving and wanted to see each other, but felt like they were giving the other one space, you know, and really, which, really good.
Which people fucking do that? Yeah. I mean, there was, when I talk about the relatability of her situation at the beginning of the movie, it's like, there's so much related. These are superheroes. And you're like, I get it, man. Mm-hmm. I get where Bob's coming from, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about that void and just not knowing what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like I'm watching this movie, and this movie is about a whole bunch of superheroes dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And there's nobody to fucking help them with it because they're superheroes. They don't need that. They don't need help.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, the thing that amazes me in that dynamic is the fact that they actually get you to feel sympathy and empathy for U.S. agents.
Yeah.
Like that is a feat.
That takes some doing. That takes some doing because he's a fucking prick.
The last time we saw him, he was like murdering a dude extrajudicially on camera in front of the world and like literally becoming the bad guy of the show.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was a very public fuck up. He got superhero canceled, basically. Yeah. Like super canceled. Yeah.
I think one of my favorite lines in the whole movie is when they were all in the void and the void is walking them through, like, you know, the worst things that ever happened to them. And they're like, everybody okay? And Bucky goes, no, I'm great. My life's been super awesome. Holy shit, I laughed so hard.
Because you see everyone else deal with their shit, and like U.S. agent's bad time isn't his fuck up, but it's him, you know, being alone without his family or him ignoring his kid who's now been taken from him. And like you see all these bad moments and they just don't even need the
just no, I'm great. My life's been super good.
We've seen plenty of what Bucky saw.
Have you all heard about the scrapped void sequence?
No.
All right. So there was gonna be another void sequence that happened in the credits. And it was going to be the void sequence for the guinea pig she rescues at the beginning of the movie. And I think that would have just been great.
Yeah. I did notice that in the lab that she's breaking into, Yelena is breaking into in the beginning, that she blows up. In the background behind the locked door she's trying to get into, there are two shadows.
Yes. That
are like
that
etched
too.
Into the wall behind them. So like that's the lab where the shit went down for Bob.
And I mean, it's that same lab that you see later.
Yeah. That she's like, I've been here before. It's because she realizes that's where.
That's really cool.
So the Sentry is like a comic book character that I never really expected them to take into the MCU.
He's got the power of 1,000 exploding suns. How are they going to show that?
Is it 10,000 exploding suns?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting him to potentially throw someone into the sun at some point, a move that he's famous for in the comics. I wasn't expecting it. It's kind of cool.
I think the thing I was a little sad for at the end of the movie, like, cause I thought that whole transition of Bob was really great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when it was done, when they defeated the void and he woke up and he didn't remember.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like it would have been great for you to have just overcome it and been a new person.
Although, you know, I was reading a bit about the Sentinel cause he's not a character that I'm familiar with.
Sentry,
excuse me. I was reading about him before we came in to record, and that amnesia is actually a big part of his character.
It is.
And it's not always real. Yeah, sometimes he's protecting himself from remembering. Yeah. It's not he could. He's sometimes kind of choosing not to or repressing.
Yeah.
So that's in character.
Yeah. But no growth though. Like no, like all the things he does, if he doesn't remember them in any capacity, like any of it, even the not as bad stuff, mm-hmm. like did he actually grow or change? Because everyone else had a lot of growth and change.
Although in the post-credit scene, they're talking about him flying and he's like, well, yeah, you know, I could fly, but then there's the other thing. Yeah. So mm-hmm. by the post-credit scene, he has some memories of.
Yeah, in the comics, Emma Frost reads his mind to try to help heal him, and the void gets into her a little bit, and so she goes into diamond form because then it can't spread. So she turns diamond, and she's diamond for like months because while Beast tries to figure out what to do, and everyone tries to figure out how to make it so that if she turns back human, it doesn't just spread and take her over.
It's like a thing that was created in his treatment and in the process that kind of starts as another part of him, but then eventually is like, is this like some supernatural thing that found him and entered him as this process was happening? Or was it like a being is created, an entity is created in the process? And it's never really explained in the comics or identified, but they question it a lot. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that it like infects Emma Frost is like a kind of a point in favor of it being a really distinct thing from him, which is kind of cool.
And I like what they did here, where, I mean, they're really dealing with, you know, there's some dark mental shit, mental health shit that's going on, you know, which, you know, I appreciate the whole, you put this in this guy.
Yeah.
You didn't think about the issues with turning this guy into Sentry. It didn't seem like there was,
but they were treating him like a lab rat. They weren't treating him like a human being.
But also, maybe that's the only reason it worked.
Yeah. It could be.
Maybe that's the only reason he was able to withstand the Sentry trials and to live through it, was because of that separation of self, that separation of mind, that was able to, like, I don't know, who can say, right? It's fucking, it's science that's magic, basically.
So in the early aughts of comics, like, let's say like 2005, 2006-ish, there were two runs of Avengers happening in parallel. There was the New Avengers and the Mighty Avengers. There are two, after the Avengers become disassembled and the shit goes down and the Scarlet Witch does her whole nonsense, the Avengers
no
disband.
No more mutants. Yeah.
The Avengers disband, and two Avengers teams end up coming up after that independently of one another. Hank Pym's team and then the New Avengers team. They're both written by Brian Michael Bendis at that time. And he's the creator of Sentry. He's also the creator of like Miles Morales, a bunch of other really great characters. I think this is great having this team be the New Avengers, and then having Sam saying, "Actually, we're the Avengers over here." I think we're getting New Avengers and Mighty Avengers. They've already said Young Avengers, which is really great. So I think we're going to go into an era of having multiple Avengers teams, which means someday we might get the Great Lakes Avengers.
Finally, an MCU film set in Minnesota.
That's right.
I loved the moment when is it Allegra? Is that her?
Yelena?
Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character.
Valentina.
Valentina. When she's like, she pretends to be on the, she's pretending she's taking a call, and she's like, oh my God, oh no, oh, don't come after me. Oh no, hold on guys, just listen. And she walks through that thing and then they follow her and they're on a press conference announcing them as the next Avengers. And it's like, oh my God, she's so fucking devious. It's like, she will never lose because she will always rewrite the game. She will move the goalposts. She will change the game so that now she's winning again. It's just great. She's
although
perfect
if anybody
for that
can
role.
Beat her, it's Yelena. So, you know.
Yeah.
I will say
Yelena whispering "we own you" is kind of oh, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on.
I will say I was a little disheartened in the way that the marketing completely changed the week after the movie came out.
Let it breathe a little.
And like I was like, let people be surprised at the end when you name them the new, like, don't like, they changed all the posters like within like 4 days of,
they could have used that as a second boost to get a little momentum later.
It's like putting Red Hulk on the freaking
worst marketing decision ever. Like show you the climax
like,
of the movie
because
the
entire movie is like you're supposed to be like what's wrong with President Indiana Jones, what's wrong what could it be, and you're like, well, he's going to be the Red Hulk because I know the Red Hulk's coming, and even if you don't know the comics, you're like,
yeah, and if you do know the comics, you're like, well, that's the guy that turns into the Red Hulk, so
we know that. Yeah.
What was between that and this, was it just Daredevil?
That's the only thing that's come out. That's the only thing that's come out between them. Yeah, in terms of, it was really fast, Brave New World, and then Thunderbolts.
And next is Ironheart.
Fantastic Four?
Ironheart. Fantastic Four.
Ironheart is a show.
Yeah. Ironheart's a show. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. Daredevil Born Again show. Yep.
I'm excited
thinking
to see Riri.
MCU timeline-wise. Riri Williams, another character created by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, he's raking in the royalties, I hope.
Probably not. he's raking in those consultant dollars.
Yeah.
Those, hey buddy, let's throw you a couple bucks as a thanks.
So you don't say negative things in the media about how he screwed you over.
Basically.
As we call it, Alan Mooring it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Speaking of Alan Moore, actually, Sentry is clearly like, have any of you read Miracle Man?
Yeah.
Miracle Man? Yeah. He's clearly like a Miracle Man character. Miracle Man is kind of sort of considered to be like the first grown up, mature, adult, dark superhero mm-hmm. comic written by Alan Moore. That is the comic that douchebag Neil Gaiman sued douchebag Todd McFarlane over when he did his writing for Medieval Spawn. Part of their deal was, I get the rights to Miracle Man because I want to go write more of this. Mm-hmm. And Todd McFarlane screwed him over. They sued each other. At the time, it was like, oh, poor Neil Gaiman. And now it's like, ah, fuck him. Like, whatever.
I just need to point out that that was just a mispronunciation of Todd McFarlane's name. That was
what I say.
You said Todd McFarlane.
That was not a... Yeah, you did.
Oh, my bad. I did not. Not a denigrating nickname, but a slip of the tongue.
You know what it was? It was someone says, "How are you doing?" and you go, "Groot."
Yes. Yeah, it's yeah, good right, Groot. Right. I'm Groot.
I just thought I'd just toss that in there.
Yeah, I appreciate catching that. Ooh, embarrassing.
He does. Suck,
thank you for that. Thank you for that education.
Yeah, yeah.
And that new nickname.
But yeah, Miracle Man, like worth reading. Good stuff. Even the stuff that Gaiman wrote is pretty good.
Well, I mean, there's one thing you can say about him. It's the stuff he wrote is pretty good.
Yeah, that's what sucks about Neil Gaiman.
The only good thing you can say about him.
So when it comes to the Marvel movies, I feel like there's usually something where I'm like, obviously Nick, it was sucks that they shot Taskmaster. Let's shit on it a little bit. What did you not love?
So I think that some of the Marvel quippy humor mm-hmm. didn't land well in this movie. I felt like at those moments, I felt like it was like studio enforcement. We have to have this quippy dialogue. Uh-huh. And some of it was funny, you know, but it felt like against the tone of the rest of what they were doing mm-hmm. in a lot of the aspects. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were a lot of moments where those were the moments where it felt a little weaker to me.
They got to hit that quips per minute quota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I didn't like that no one could figure out what Bob's deal was at first. Like, where did you come from? Who is this? Like, he's in a hospital gown in a facility full of tubes that look like they could hold people. Where do you think he came from? Like, use your fucking brains. Like,
well, they're not the brightest bunch. They're not. None of them is like a genius on this team.
Yeah,
I think. It was only at the beginning when they're bickering, which is, I mean, it's a trope, and it kind of went on for a while longer than I wanted it to, with the characters just constantly arguing and not solving problems because they were too busy arguing, I really enjoyed this movie. I the whole time I was watching, I'm like, it's about time Marvel did something. And again, living with people who are going through mental health issues, having gone through mental health issues myself, it was really hitting home in that I was super relating to these characters and what they were going through. You know, the Red Guardian being like, I was the fucking Red Guardian and now I drive a limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I do. And I'm still a fucking super soldier. I could lift the limousine over my head and throw it at you, but... Mm-hmm. You know,
Can I say something about the, like, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, thank God Marvel finally made a movie.
Yeah.
I think Marvel has pretty consistently made good movies and bad movies through its whole timeline, before Endgame, after Endgame. You know, it'll be like I think we have this like memory where we didn't go, oh wow, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine was really fun, or Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was really fun, or Wakanda Forever was really fun.
Which is totally.
We only remember the Eternals and Brave New World, and you know.
I think there's something.
Secret Invasion.
Sorry. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Well, now it's all bad and ruined. No,
God, I think damn it, Doc.
There is something to be said about, they got their whole fucking shit ruined when they had to pivot from Kang.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I think you could probably say there's been some weird shit in the writing where they've had to do a bunch of reshoots. They aren't going to be able to do their original plan for so many movies, that I feel like in that era where people are going to say like, oh, phase 4 and phase 5 were the dud era or whatever, I think a lot of that was them dedicating effort to repositioning for the future of their whole big franchise. And like, sometimes that heavy lifting might not make for the most engaging writing. Yeah.
But I think people forget about Iron Man 2 and Thor the Dark World and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
For me,
and
it's more like I didn't love Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I didn't love like a lot of the movies that people are like, it was so good. I was like, okay. No, it was good. I'll be honest, I didn't love Endgame. I didn't think that was an incredible. I don't love movies where the majority of the movie is just property destruction for like 30 mm-hmm. fucking minutes, just super powered things smashing the shit out of each other and everything, and that's it. And that's
your biggest problem with the Snyder.
It is. DC and like movies. I get so bored so fast when that's happening, because it's like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, and it's like, so that isn't, so like this movie didn't have that. That was what I loved so much about it, was there was not a ton of just smash them up sequences for so long. Like, cause you know what's going to happen. You know, it's like, yeah, we got it. You're very strong. And so like, I think this, I felt like it was actually making a movie that was trying to do more than just be like, look how many effects we can cram into this scene. Look how amazing our computerized effects are. Look how fucking crazy this is. Cause all I can ever think about is like, that was never like an evacuation order. Like, people are going to come back to their offices and all their shit is wrecked. Like, you know, like, I mean, even if you were evacuated, your whole life is ruined. Imagine if your office was just trashed or your house was just trashed. And like, yeah, insurance covers it, but it's just, and so to me, it feels like Marvel's always been more about the human cost and like the toll on the people of New York and everything. And so when they ignore that, I feel like cheated. I feel like, it feels like they're cheating to try to get, you know, more popcorn dollars. You know?
I feel like in the MCU, no one should ever be able to get insurance in New York City.
New York City and DC,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, I think one thing that I'll say is there weren't as many action sequences in this movie, but I think the action sequences all had purpose.
Yes.
They all had
incredible choreography too.
They all had weight. Mm-hmm. They all had reason. I mean, one of the big action sequences is just these characters trying to keep people from dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Sentry is starting to go all crazy, you know, and that is more interesting than a fight sequence sometimes, because it's these characters using their superpowers, but it's using their superpowers to help people, not just to fight someone. Mm-hmm. And even the fight with Sentry, I mean, it lasts, what, 30 seconds? Because he just kicks their ass.
Yeah. He's the Sentry.
Yeah.
It's always more interesting to me, it's usually more interesting to me when the heroes are presented with a problem that they can't just punch their way out of.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, not to bring it back to comparing it to DC stuff, but like, that's why I'm looking forward to the new Superman movie, is because it's clearly a bunch of things that Superman can't just punch his way out of. That's the most interesting part of the character. Not that he's super powered, but that he has to deal with all this shit. Yeah. That his superpowers don't necessarily make him able to save everyone, and he feels bad about it, you know?
But no, I agree with you that I think it's very, the thing is, it's very pithy and easy to be like, superhero movies are dumb now. Yeah. I'm over them. We're all over them, right? Because it's, my brother Riley has a tendency to just repeat everything he hears from on the internet, especially, and as fact. And I'll be like, why do you think that? And he'll go, oh, I don't know. It's just something I heard. Yeah. And it's like, see, and so that I think has become so pervasive. And then you add to that, that more and more articles are being written by AI, and then just, you know, cleaned up a little. And like, so what we end up having is this, like, not even an echo chamber. It's like it's just like a poisoned well where everything is being influenced by everything else. So one person says, it seems to me the superhero movie is over. And that just becomes the new talking point that everyone uses to frame their review and their reason why they think that too. And like, it just, it's one of the biggest problems of our 24-hour culture, I think, right now, is that can just ripple effect and become fact when it doesn't, no one's thinking about it. I know people who will tell me that Saturday Night Live hasn't been good for 20 years. And I'm like, when was the last time you watched Saturday Night Live? They're like, oh, I never watch it. I hate that show. And it's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They're like, yeah. Why would you even say
that? You sound like an old person who's like, I stopped listening to new music in the 90s like, because why it even, isn't good anymore.
Why even like, weigh what? In? Why are you even weighing yeah. in on this? You don't care about it. Like, why? Yeah, it, that kind of thing, I think, is very pervasive in our culture.
So here's phase five, right? Mm. Just so we can... This is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Not great.
That feels so long ago.
That's 2023. That was only two
Jesus
years ago.
What? Christ, that shit. Feels so
that was,
long.
That was February.
Ago. It was so bad.
Of 2023. So Guardians 3, uh-huh. which was good.
I really liked Guardians 3.
Like I think the rocket arc in that movie is pretty incredible.
But yes. It was a downer.
It wasn't
the exciting, fun Guardians of the Galaxy movies. It was like a lot of people came away from that like,
that's not why I didn't like it, for what it's worth.
Well, I know. But a lot of people, the animal violence stuff was kind of a deal breaker for some folks, too. But well, whatever. The next would be The Marvels.
Which I enjoyed.
I liked the Marvels but a lot. It has things going against it, like the patriarchy.
Yeah. No, I like The Marvels.
Don't forget white supremacy. Well, that's also going against it.
Deadpool Wolverine.
Yep. That was fun. Yeah, that was great. Fucking,
it's like one of the biggest movies ever.
That movie is tailor-made for me. Right. I mean, that's,
Brave New World. Man. And then Thunderbolts.
And isn't there a Spider-Man movie in there somewhere?
Not according to this, the Wikipedia article.
I don't know if Spider-Man's considered MCU phase five at this point right now. No, I mean, I don't know if it's considered part of their phase planning.
Phase four had a Spider-Man movie. Homecoming,
the multiversal. The
well, yeah, okay, well, that would have been the last. That would
Homecoming was the first one. Yeah. Second one.
No,
phase four. No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Yeah. That was phase four.
Okay.
So then, but also, this is going to start strong. For TV in phase five, it was Secret Invasion. Loki season two.
Okay.
I really liked it. I thought
it was all right.
Yeah. I thought it was just fine.
What If seasons two and three, which... Three was just real bad.
Three was bad.
Echo.
I liked Echo a lot.
I liked most of Echo quite a bit.
Echo was really good.
Agatha All Along.
That was fine.
Technically, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is a part of the MCU, even though it takes place in a different reality than the primary MCU we're familiar with.
I haven't watched that.
He likes that.
Me either.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. It's cute. Daredevil Born Again, and then Ironheart will be the last
Daredevil
thing.
Daredevil Born Again is so fucking good.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is great. The guy that plays Zendaya's drug counselor guy in
Euphoria
voices Norman Osborn.
Oh, really?
Great. He's got that like gravelly voice.
Oh, God.
And his son Harry is like a fucking internet Instagram playboy, like just killing it online. The casting's really good. The voice acting's really good. The fucking Spider-Man actor who opened up his mouth and was like, I'm glad this isn't a woke one. Man, that Spider-Man show is woke as fuck. Like, his best friend is Nico Minoru from Young Avengers and shit. There was a Hulu show that didn't.
But doesn't
last.
Woke these days in that context mean Coleman not everybody Domingo. Is white?
Yeah, Coleman Domingo. And Coleman Domingo is like one of my absolutely favorite actors right now.
Yeah,
he's incredible in everything. If you didn't see Sing Sing this last year,
which
is about like he's a prisoner in Sing Sing Penitentiary, but they form a dramatic arts program. He's kind of involved, and then it's just and like most of the actors in the movie are actual like graduates of that program. But that it stars Coleman Domingo. Mm. His episodes of Euphoria are insane.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So good.
Even like when he was on like Fear the Walking Dead, I was like, who is this guy?
I didn't watch.
Oh my God!
So
he is so good.
He's Norman in the cartoon. He does a really really great job. I would love to see him play Norman Osborn in the MCU if they go that way. I think it would be great. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen him play like a sinister guy before. And
he is in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the whole premise of the show is basically like if Peter had gone under Norman Osborn's wing instead of Tony Stark's wing, and how this all could have gone a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to, like, Stephen Strange is there, and it has this very retro Spider-Man comic, like newspaper comic feel in the art, but very modern in terms of the story and the language. I really liked it.
So what we're learning is that of the MCU movies that have come out in the last couple of years, actually only a couple of them were really bad.
But I think so bad.
I think most of the issue is actually box office related, isn't it? Right? It's like they aren't making quite as much money.
I don't pay attention to that at all. Like at sure, all. But, so but
that's enough people do that they look at the box office and go,
I think that there's this narrative in our culture, which reflects our last election, this is a movie that features, you know, an Asian hero. This is a movie that features a Muslim hero. This is a movie that features, Brie Larson, who has, you know, has been left siding, and that's horrible, you know, quote. I mean, that's not me. Obviously.
But no, but like for, I mean, I remember when the Marvels came out and they were referring to it as a box office flop, and someone was like, this movie made the exact same amount of money as this other movie, which is being lauded as a box office success.
Yeah. I mean, I think it made more money than Frozen Empire, and it cost about the same to make.
It was a pretty even comparison. It's like, but this one's got a bunch of women and a bunch of them are brown. And so that's why this one's the flop. Right. And it's like, that's the kind of reason. It's one of the reasons I don't pay attention to that shit is because it's like it drives me fucking crazy that it's used as a metric.
And I know you're not paying attention to it, but the problem is that the narrative, the public narrative, the thing that a lot of people are talking about, the thing that drives that narrative of the MCU is finished that your brother's talking about is that kind of stuff. They use those box office arguments to advance that narrative, which isn't necessarily true. I thought Marvels was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Well, and certainly not after 2020. Like, that's the thing, is like people just are not going out to things as much as they used to, full stop. Concerts, theater, movies, like, they are all suffering audience. We all know this. There are huge fucking names that can't sell out the Excel Center. And that's crazy. Like, there's like pop stars who are household names who can't sell all the tickets to their concerts. You know, like
So, I'm going to name a couple movies. You tell me if they did good at the box office or not. Citizen Kane.
Terrible. It did probably terrible. Badly.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It was a flop.
Yeah, it only made its money on TV.
Right. Fight Club.
I know that was a flop. I
The Shawshank Redemption.
That was a huge flop.
Children of Men.
Oh, I remember everyone hated that movie. Yeah. And that was
These are widely considered to be amazing movies and classics, and they all did really poorly in the box office.
The Shawshank Redemption is the one. The story about the Shawshank Redemption is its box office was growing week to week after like the first month of release, as everybody's like, have you seen this movie? And they actually took it out of
the Stephen King movie.
They took it out of the theaters when its box office was still growing. So they were idiots.
I remember people saying like, oh, that Stephen King, it's based on a Stephen King story. I'm not going to go see that. And I was like,
I mean, yes, you are correct.
Did you see Stand By Me?
Yeah.
And then there's smaller movies too, like that aren't as big, you know, like Office Space, you know, Blade Runner was a big flop.
Oh God. Yeah. So many movies that we talk about. I don't think Alien was a huge box office.
It's a horror movie. Horror movies never do well.
I really hate it that and I understand why.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I hate that that's the measurement of success. In when you're creating art, is how much money it made.
Capitalism,
and
baby.
I know it ruins everything it touches. But I just maybe I wish that information was secret.
I get that.
No one gets to see the numbers until the movie's been out for a month, and then the numbers come out, and everyone can go, "I knew it. It sucked." Or
like,
whatever.
Like they when can, you're on
they
Reddit.
Can validate like, whatever beliefs they already have.
Like when you're on Reddit, it's like we're hiding the number of upvotes or downvotes this post got for a few hours. Like they do that so that you can't just pile on. Because it's true. Like if you see something and it has a full negative score of downvotes and you will immediately read it with a more critical eye. Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like you will it's immediately look at it more critically because you're like, well, everyone hated this, you know? And it's, yeah.
What'd this asshole say?
Yeah. I think that, so back to Thunderbolts though, I think that one of the reasons I think that this movie did really well is because it had a lot of heart. And I know that's it's hard to quantify what that is, but it is the characters all said, like, had actual emotions. They were allowed to feel good and bad. They had wins and losses. They're just a couple little, there's like little moments that stuck with me. Like when Yelena figures out that US agent's wife and kid left him, and she just looks at him and he makes eye contact with her and he just goes, just a little nod. And she just kind of nods back. Like just kind of okay. Like,
didn't need to explain it either.
They didn't need to have a big moment. But like, and I think another thing that's going to be really important going forward, something that I've noticed that seems to be a good trend in the media that's doing really well. You see it in The Last of Us this season. Men being allowed to show emotions other than anger or victory and being vulnerable and being upset and being hurt and taking responsibility for the hurt they've caused and all of it is huge. And if we can just see as much of that as we've been seeing people going down on each other, I would love that, because that's been that's another thing I've noticed.
Wait,
lately.
People are going down on each
I'm
other?
I'm just saying. Speaking of sinners. Hold on. Let me just tell you. If you start paying attention, cunnilingus is like a huge thing these days in sex scenes.
That's true.
And that is the number one thing in sex scenes lately. It used to be like, you know, oh, we'll get in bed. Now it's like the best way to do it without having to show
everybody's
anything.
Everybody's eating pussy.
It's just all of a sudden goes down and everyone's eating pussy these days. So like...
whenever we watch
can't
something...
Can't wait to see that in the MCU. Yeah.
Whenever we watch something and someone's about to start eating pussy, Molly goes, 2025, baby!
It's back.
And last year it was 2024.
It was 2024, but it's continuing.
Well, I think we're gonna get more of that because I mean, Fantastic Four.
I hope
like
I get more of it.
Like in the trailers for Fantastic Four, they show sad Ben Grimm looking into the reflection of the TVs.
You've got two men who are astonishingly good at that as actors. You've got Evan.
Thought you were gonna say that Ben Grimm was going down.
No, but you've got Evan
that'd go over as well as no, but truly,
in Fantastic Four, you've got Pedro Pascal and Eben Moss-Bacharach, and they are both astonishing actors who show a lot of vulnerability and who are very good at being emotionally available men in the roles they've played. So I think I'm super
excited
for it.
And you know what? Alicia Masters could be in the Fantastic Four movie, so maybe we'll see Ben Grimm eat pussy.
I'll see it. What would it even look like? Somebody draw it.
I mean, the sex scene that they have in The Eternals tells me that maybe not Marvel's strong point.
Well, I don't even know if I was awake for that part. I fell asleep like six times during that movie.
Yeah, I agree though. Heart really matters.
We'll find out when we see Fantastic Four in a couple of months.
I think in this movie too, like it has that heart, but it deals with that heart with so much more depth. It's not that we haven't had heart in Marvel movies before.
Because
we get it in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It in Wakanda Forever kind of like this tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
It's just, I think like to have so many characters just like going through it and like finding unity and connection, I think that's what's really special.
Yeah, I mean, if they can make you feel for, what is it, American agent, whatever the fuck,
U.S. agent.
If they can make you feel for him, you got to give him mad props because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah. He still is too.
He hasn't stopped being a fucking asshole. But you're like, that poor fucking.
He didn't
asshole.
Like magically become a good person.
Exactly. No. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like he didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I don't want to see perfect characters. I want to see imperfect characters.
Thunderbolts, final thoughts. Anybody want to go first?
Just real quickly, just as I'm a film score buff, I will say that I love the film score by San Lux.
I noticed this one too.
This is like their second movie. The first one they won the Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But normally they just kind of make music.
Yeah,
so
this is another
really cool
one I actually noticed. There were times when I was like, the music is good. Like the music, like, and I remember noticing it in Brave New World being like, the music is bad. The music is bad. I don't know. Sometimes I can figure it out. Yeah.
I'll just say, I'm there for Congressman Bucky Barnes.
Oh,
I think that's great.
So funny.
Yeah.
in a movie full of like relatable characters going through it, was the most relatable thing Bucky Barnes eating some pizza after his gala event and spilling tomato sauce down his white tuxedo shirt? It may have been. And pulling his arm out of the dishwasher. The I feel dish, like
that was just gonna yeah. that was gonna be like mine.
And it was a humanizing moment.
To me, the most, I mean, it's obviously when you flip the switch in your limousine and the disco music comes on by accident.
Who are you
taking
around?
I totally relate to that.
The arm in the dishwasher was one of my favorite bits, because it was, I know we saw it in the trailer, but it still hit just as hard. It was Sebastian Stan is one of my favorite actors, and if you love Bucky Barnes and you have not watched Pam and Tommy on Hulu, watch Pam and Tommy, because holy shit, he is Tommy Lee. Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah, I love Thunderbolts. Like Duck was saying, it's not all flops lately. It's just the flops have gotten a lot more attention, and the people talking about them are a lot louder online.
And some of the flops weren't even flops.
But in that vein, I do also hope that this is a sign of things to come, and a sign that things are kind of turning around, and maybe it's an after effect of the writer's strike being over and writers getting a little bit more creative control of their stories. That's going to take longer to show up in movies than in TV. And maybe we're like, okay, we're done with all the Kang stuff. We got our ducks in a row. We're going forward. We have a plan. Mm-hmm. We have the talented people lined up. We're going to just make some good movies with heart. I hope this is a sign of that.
Yeah. Thunderbolts, baby. If you listened this far and you got spoiled, well, that's your own damn fault. We warned you.
We did.
If you want to talk to us about Thunderbolts, feel free to comment on Facebook. We'll see you there. And if I remember, I'll post this on Blue Sky, and you can talk to us over there, too. Like us on Patreon and throw us some money if you want. You might get these early. You might not. You know what? Don't worry about it. We don't need your money. We've been Geeks Without God, and we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
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 Oh, no.
We're stuck in the void.
And they're making us watch Brave New World again.
Ugh.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Or the Tuesday after that, whatever.